This is Daf HaShavua. This is Shir number 3 for Daf Pehe Maseches Ksuos. We're on Pehe Amid Beis at the top line in the middle. Ha'u Gavra. So we have the following story. Ha'u Gavra Da'afkid Shav Marganisa Detzare Besedina. He had a person who was mafkid, gave to someone a deposit to watch. Shav Marganisa. That's 7 pearls. Detzare that were wrapped together in a sadin, in a kerchief, in a cloth. Rashi there says, second line, Sheva Margalios Tzuros Besadin Echad Hifkid Biyad Rav Miyasha. Who did he give it to? So he gave it to, as the Gemara says, Bey in the house of Rav Miyasha, Barbarei de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. All right. So Shachar Rav Miyasha. Rav Miyasha passed away. Velo Pukid and didn't give any orders, any instructions to his family regarding this property that he had. So the Yorshim thought maybe this indeed belonged to our father Rav Miyasha. But it's not a pikadon. So also the comment Rabbi Yami. So the case came in from Rabbi Yami. Rabbi Yashia's Yorshim came, and this mafkid came and said, and he wanted his 7 pearls and the kerchief back. And they came to Rabbi Yami to his because of this issue. So Amar Lahu. So Rabbi Yami said, I'll tell you why you, the Yorshim, cannot take this. Number one, I know he is not Amid. He is not a wealthy man. So if you look at Rashi, Asur the Kamid Rabbi Yami, 4 lines down, maybe these belong to our father. Why do you, Mr. Mafkid, think it belongs to you and think it's a deposit? So Rabbi Yami ruled in favor of the Mafkid. Because, number one, I know there are miyasha d'lo amin extra ashi, ain't a washer. Number one, I know he's not a wealthy man. Va'od, and moreover, haka yayiv simana. Second of all, this mafkid person, he gave a siman. And he told you exactly what was the siman, Rashi, simana, da'amar b'sadin haim, tsuros, v'haim sheva. There are 7, and they're in a kerchief. So that's a pretty good, they're wrapped together in a kerchief. That's a pretty good siman. So the Gemara now says, v'lo amaran elo delo rogil da'ayil v'nafik lahasam. But this is only true that we're going to award it to the mafkid in this case who claimed it. If this person doesn't normally go in and out of Rav Miyasha's house, but if he normally goes in and out of his house, so the fact that he has a siman, so that doesn't mean anything. Maybe someone else deposited these pearls in Rav Miyasha's house, and why does this guy have a siman? But this guy happened to see it. So he knows a siman, but that doesn't mean that it belongs to him. Now, there is one important piece to keep in mind that the Rishonim say, is that it's true that the Mafkid gave this mark, and we said, oh, we're giving you these pearls, but it was the both together. It was both that he had a siman. Let's say he doesn't go in and out of the house. So is giving a siman enough? Apparently not. It was enough if that it was both that he knew was siman, and that Rav Miyasha, we know, was not a wealthy man. Had Rav Miyasha been a wealthy person, so the fact that this, the mafkid, or the one who claims to be the mafkid, he says, I know I have a siman on this, I know the pearls, I know how many they're in there, that wouldn't have been enough. I thought that's only not a siman doesn't work, is not effective if he goes in and out of the house, but if he doesn't, maybe the siman should be good. No. What it means is that it's true that maybe they did belong to him at some point, but how do you know Rav Miyasha didn't buy them? Could be that that he did buy them. In fact, if you take a look at the top Tosfos, Achad de Yadana be Rav Miyasha de lo Amid, Afagav de Ilu have Rav Miyasha Kayam, had Rav Miyasha been alive, I have a Toin Shali, and he said, these are mine, who are your Mehemon? He would have been believed Afagav de lo Amid, even though he's not a wealthy man. De Emer Mitzia Ashkach, or Matanos, because he could say, you know, I'm not a wealthy man, but I found this, or it was given to me as a gift. Mikom Lakom, lo Ta'anina Li Yasme. But that type of taina, oh, maybe it was a mitzvah, maybe it was a taina, that much we're not going to give as a taina for the yisomim demilstulo shrichi, because that's not very common. But nonetheless, what we're pointing out here is that from the Mafkid's perspective, he needs both of these. He needs the Siman and the fact that Lo Amid, that he's not wealthy, in order to receive this. Okay, now the Gemara says another story. Hahu gav or the afkid kasa de kasma bechasa. Chasa is a person. So there's a man who was mafkid a silver cup in the house of chasa. Shachiv chasa, chasa passed away. Rashi tells you what happened. Rashi says here, shachiv chasa, velo pakid, without giving any orders, any instructions to his family. Rashi says, shetava benar, unfortunately he drowned. Kedamar b'yivamos perak basra and daf kufchaf alafim debez in Yevamos. So his family didn't know. So the family, as in the previous story, thought maybe, in fact, these belong to our father, Chasa. But the Mafkid now brings these Yorshim to court. Also, the commentator of Nachman, Amalahu, Rav Nachman, said to these Yorshim, to Chasa's Yorshim, nothing doing. Amalahu, Yadana be Bechasa de lo Amin. Number one, I know your father's not a wealthy man. So he probably didn't own this silver cup. The Ode, Haka Yahav Simana. Second of all, this person who's coming, this Mafkid, claims he's the Mafkid and deposited by your father, he gave a simon, and that proves that the cup is his. And once again, we give the qualifying statement. But it's only true that we give it to this the person who's claiming it, who claims to be this mafkin, only if he doesn't go in and out of the house regularly. He would come in and out of Chasa's house. So then the fact that he knew was Simon is not sufficient. And as before, just the fact that we know that that Chasa's not a wealthy man, that would not be sufficient. If you don't have if the Simon is meaningless, and the Simon is meaningless, if it's something he could have noticed. So, Amar Inish Achrinafkin. Maybe, in fact, yeah, he's not a wealthy man, but you know why it's in his house? Because someone else deposited it there, and that belonged with Chasa. And Chasa, and this belonged to a different Mafkin, Vihu Mechza Chasa. And this guy just saw it. So, as we said earlier, the same thing we said, Aval Ragil Dial Venafik Lahasam Ema Inish Achrina Afkin Vihu Mechza Chasa, and this guy saw it. So the same thing we say here, Ema Inish Achrina Afkin Vihu Mechza Chasa. Another case, Haud Afkin Mitachsa Bei Ravdimi Achua de Rav Safra. Someone gave a deposit of a Mitachsa. Rashi says, Lavush Meshi, some silk garment, with Ravdimi, who was the brother of Safra. Shachi Ravdimi, Ravdimi passed away, Vlo Pukid, and once again didn't give instructions to his family, and the family thinks that it belonged to Ravdimi, so the Yorshim come to court, and they bring this Mafkid, who says, no, it belongs to me, I gave it to him to watch. Also, the Kamid Rabbi Abba, Amalu Rabbi Abba said, number one, Chada Du Yodana Beit Ravdimi Lodolo Amit. This doesn't belong to Ravdimi. There's no way this silk garment because he's not a wealthy man. But oh, not only that, you know what the Mafkid does? Huh? In this case, Hakal Yav Zimana. Once again, he gave this person who's claiming it, says, you know what? Yeah, I'm the Mafkid. He gave a Siman. He gave an identifying mark that it belonged to him. So the two together, once again, proves that it's his. All right, once again, we qualify. Below Amar and El Delo Rogil, Dia Vladafik Lahasa. That's only where this Mafkid this person who claimed to be Mafkid, doesn't go in and out of Ravdimi's house. Aval Rogiv Oil Vanafik Lahasam, then Ema Inesh Achrina Afkin, then maybe, yeah, he's not a wealthy man, but this guy only knew the Simon and made it because he walked in and out of the house, and it really belongs to someone else, and that other person deposited with him, the Eyu Mechsechaza. And this person who's claiming it just saw it. New case, Hahuda Amaluhun Lechasai Lutovia, a person said, you know, before he passes away, my Nechasim, my property is going to Tovia. The name of a person. So he didn't tell you which one. A lot of people with that name, Tovia. Shachiv, then he passed away. Asa Tovia. And now, all of a sudden, a few days later, Tovia walks in. Said, I'm Tovia. I was told that this stuff belongs to me. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Harei Ba Tovia. Tovia has come, which means we could assume that this is the right Tovia. He came first. Why? Well, maybe other people call Tovia, but clearly this person is the good friend, and this is clearly the person who he would have given it to. Amar Tovia V'asa Rav Tovia. Let's say, though, the person who's dying said about his property, I want my property to go to Tovia. But the person who came is Rav Tovia, is a rabbi. So the Gemara says, Latovia Omar, La Rav Tovia La Omar. So this, you don't give it to Rav Tovia, because this guy wouldn't have said, oh, my stuff is going to Tovia, calling him by his first name if he's a rabbi. But then the Gemara qualifies. So it must be the wrong person, obviously. So don't give it to Rav Tovia. He made another Tovia who's not a rabbi. But then the Gemara says, V'i inish digisbe, if he's a person who is comfortable with Rav Tovia, they're on friendly terms, hagisbe. So then he's comfortable with him. Look at Rashi. Rashi says about 6-7 lines into the thin lines. B'tzavas misa nechasai l'tovia v'lo perish l'ezo tovia. Now we have digisbe. Rugil etzlo, he spends the time with him. Umigo de gaise hadadi, because they're comfortable with one another. Kore lo bishmo, kilu lo nismach. He calls him by his first name, as if he doesn't have smicha. So that would be, then it can go to Tovia, even though he's Rav. It can go to Rav Tovia, even though the guy called him Tovia, because they're on casual terms. Asu shnei Tovia. So now two Tovias walk in. So who do we give it to? Shachem and Tamar Chacham. One is the neighbor of the person who passed away, and one is the Tamar Chacham. Tamar Chacham, Kodem, the Torah, the Tamar Chacham, because he's a Torah scholar, he's going to get it. We assume he gets precedence. Why do we assume that? Because we assume that the person who's passing away, when he said Tovia, he meant Tovia the Tamar Chacham, and not Tovia his neighbor. Why should that be? So look at Rashi, Tamar Chacham, Kodem, about 8, about 10 lines into the thin lines. Dimistama adam matzdik masav lezakos b'shas misa. Person wants to do the right thing, to give a proper zechus at the time he passes away, as he's passing away. Damar mar, kol ha-neviim lo nisnabu elo l'mahane tamidei chachamim b'nechasav. The neviim were prophesied about the olam haba. It was for people who give benefit, hana, and help out tamidei chachamim. So we assume from his property, we assume that that's the one he had in mind, not the neighbor, but the tamidei chacham. What about karov tamidei chacham? Let's say one's a relative of the person who passed away, and the other is a Tamar Chacham. Even here, Tamar Chacham Kodem. And the Chiddush here is, according to the Rishonim, is that even if that person may have been someone who potentially would be Yoresh, this person who passed away, nonetheless, we assume that there are two Tovias. One is a Karov and one's a Tamar Chacham. We assume he had in mind the Tamar Chacham. And certainly, where there's a Shachin and Tamar Chacham, he had in mind the Tamar Chacham, Tovia, and not the neighbor Tovia. Iboiluhu, what about the following? Shachin the Karov mai. So you told me Tamar Chacham wins out, the Tamar Chacham Tovia wins out over the Karov and the Shachin. But what if you have a Shachin and a Karov? What about those two? Which one do we assume gets precedence? Which one do we assume he had in mind? Tashma, quoting a Pasuk, from Mishlei Perachav Zayin, Shachin, Tov, Shachin, Karov, Me'ach, Rachok. A close neighbor is better than a far away, a distant brother. Which is teaching us what? It's teaching us, we assume, that he has in mind that the neighbor takes precedence. And obviously that should just be the guy who lives next door, someone who has some relationship with him, even though you'll say, this person he's close with is a relative, but the relative lives far away, he has a closer relationship with this good friend who's a close neighbor. Shneim Krovim, what if they're both relatives? Two Tovius. Both have the same name? You have that. You name after the same person. So who does he have in mind? Ushneim Shcheinim, or let's say they're both neighbors. Let's say two Tamar Chachamim, both with the name Tovia. What do we do now? Now you have no idea who to take precedence. Says the Gemara, Shuda de Daine. We leave it to the discretion of the Dayanim. What that means? So that's a famous topic you have in Bava Basra and other places. Take a look at Rashi, Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Look at the middle of the thin lines of Rashi, Shuda de Daine. Hatolas Hadayanim, Lefi Mashe Yiru Hadayanim, Shahaya Dark or Shelmes. What we do is, it's left to the discretion of the Dayanim, meaning they have to do some investigation. They don't just randomly choose who to give it to, according to Rashi. Shuda Dinai means their discretion, meaning one of you guys figure out, you have these two relatives, or two neighbors, or two Tamar Chachamim, who would you think, based on history, based on this person, what you've seen in the past, with after investigation, the likelihood is he would have given it to this Tuvia over that Tuvia. That's what you have to figure out. Omi shebishneim tov v'noeg b'derech yishara sheish lomar bo niskaven hames lezakos. He wanted to mizaka to this person. This is one he clearly had in mind to do a favor for. And if you look at Tosas Shuda de Dainei, Tosas says here, the third to last Tosas, lo kipirish akunsha shepirish sheyomdu hadayanim, that the dayanim should appraise, should assess, daito shel nosei lemi ritzono liten yoser, who we probably wanted to give the gift to more. Ela omer rabbeinu tamno shahadayan yite lemi sheyirtze. That's what it means. Shudin dayanim means their discretion. You give it to whichever dayanim decide, whoever they like. Randomly, they can decide which one of those two people to give it to. Next Gemara. Amale Rava Libre Dravchi Baravin. Rava said to the son of Rabchi Baravin, Ta Eimalach Milsa Mal Yusa Dahava Amaravach. You know, and I'm going to tell you something really great that your father, Rabchi Baravin, said. So this is Rava talking to the son of Rabchi Baravin. I'm going to tell you something really nice your father said. What did your father say? Hada Amar Shmuel, that which Shmuel said, Hamocher Shtar Chov L'Chaveiro, V'Chazaru M'Cholo, Machul. So let's get first understand that which Shmuel said. Then we'll understand what Rava was telling Rabbi Chia, the son of Rabbi Chia Bar Avin, that Rabbi Chia Bar Avin said about this statement of Shmuel. Now what does Shmuel say? A person sells a Shtar Chov to his friend. Why would a person do that? Well, somebody have a Malve, and a Malve owes, money. Now, a Malve is owed money. So, you know what he does? He sells this shtar to someone else, and now that person is able to use the shtar to buy, to collect the money. Instead of the Malve collecting the money, now they make a kinyan, and now the shtar belongs to someone else. The IOU belongs to someone else, not the Malve anymore. And now, so let's say Reuven's the Malve, and Shimon owes Reuven money. He's the Love. And now Reuven sells this to Levi. So Levi, it's wonderful. Now Shimon is going to pay Levi. And you know what? You know what Reuven now does? V'chazar m'chalo. Then Reuven goes over to Shimon and says, you know, I forgive the debt. You don't have to pay me. So now Levi's out. What's Levi going to do with the shtar? He's mochel. So the halacha is, it's not such a nice thing to do, but the halacha is mochel. The debt is forgiven. The one who bought the shtar cannot collect it. The afilu yoresh mochel. Not only that, it's even true after the person who sells the shtar died, even the yoresh is able to forgive the debt. So here you have Reuven sold the shtar to Levi, and in his lifetime he didn't forgive the debt at all. So Shimon still owes now the money to Levi, because Levi has the shtar, really owes it to Reuven, but Levi owns the shtar, and now the Yorshim of Reuven are mochel that shtar. After all, why not? It doesn't belong, it's now in Levi's hands anyway. They're not going to use it to collect. So the halacha is even there, afilu yoresh mochel. Even a yoresh can be mochel that debt. But Modesh Shmuel, but Shmuel admits, and this is what Rabbi Chia Bar Avin said, what Rava thought was such a nice thing that Rava tells the son of Chia Bar Avin, you know, that which Shmuel says, if you mocher shtar chov, and Reuven is mochel it, it's mochel, and even a yoresh could be mochel. You know what Shmuel admitted though? Modesh Shmuel b'machneses shtar chov levala. If you have a woman who brought in a shtar chov, a loan document, to her husband in the marriage as part of the nichsei melug, where the husband should have some, what's nichsei melug? Karen belongs to her, parents belong to the baal, v'chazro machalatu, and then she forgave the debt that's in that document, she'ena machal. No, it's not machal, she can't do that. Well, I mean, she'ena doki yada, because his hand is like her hand, and the same way she has the power in that loan, so too he does. Why is that so? So we know when it comes to Nechsei Malug, she owns the Karen, and he owns the Peros. He has the right to whatever profits may come. And in this case, profits may come once the debt is collected and the money's invested, if he's going to get money. And therefore, she can't forgive the debt because he has ownership. In fact, the husband also can't forgive the debt because she has ownership of it as well.